As Christy said, we're honored to be here tonight to talk to you guys a little bit about communication and some of the things that we've learned. As Christy said, we've been communicating or practicing communication in marriage for almost 35 years now. And I think the word practice is really important here because, you know, much like your doctor, you want him to learn new things and be good at what they do. We really need to practice and learn new things about communication in order to have a strong marriage. And so we feel very strongly about that. I used to listen to Family Life broadcasts on the way into work quite a bit when Dennis Rainey and Bob Lapine were on there. And Dennis had a program on communication that really hit home with me. And I'd like to read just a short excerpt of that as we open up and kind of set the framework here for the talk today. And in that broadcast, he was talking about how U.S. prisoners in Vietnam POW camps were communicating. So let me read this to you. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, 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 tap. Captain Red McDaniel, wrapped carefully on the walls of his cell in the Hanoi Hilton, practicing the special camp code prisoners use to communicate with each other. He knew he had to be very careful. His communist captors wanted to keep all of the American guests isolated and vulnerable. Prisoners caught trying to communicate would be tortured, and McDaniel had already experienced that. As the interminable days went by, McDaniel came to fear isolation far more than the threats of torture by his Viet Cong captors. The highlight of each day was being taken to the washroom, where he managed to whisper briefly to the other two Americans brought in at the same time. They told him about the camp code, an acrostic system that involved using a certain number of taps or other signals to spell out letters of the alphabet. McDaniel recognized the code as his lifeline, his only link with sanity. If a news prisoner couldn't learn the code and communicate with fellow Americans within 30 days of his arrival, he would gradually start to draw inward and deteriorate. The prisoner would slowly lose the will to live. He would stop eating, and as his stomach became bloated, he would actually start to feel fat. Little by little, the prisoner would die alone as the strange predator, isolation, sucked the very life out of him. You know, at first glance, the horrors of the Hanoi Hilton seem really unrelated to marriage, in the marriage relationship, but in a very real way, communication is really essential to the life of a marriage, just as essential as it was to the life of the prisoners there. You know, if you don't communicate, your marriage will die. And good open communication is certainly an important need in marriage, and it's really easy to talk, but it's really difficult to communicate. And so it's even more critical when you're apart. And really, Bethany's and I goal today is really to share a little bit about some of the things that we've learned along the way, some of the things to do, some of the things not to do, and some little stories maybe along the way as well. Christy had originally asked us to share a lot about communication when you're apart. And for me, I've had quite a bit of work travel, and early on in my career, when our kids were really little, I'd have a couple of few day trips here and there, an occasional multi-week trip. And on some of those times, there would be periods of time on the multi-week trips when I couldn't communicate at all. It just was impossible based on where I was. As my career went on a little bit longer, I was having to actually spend up to 11 months at a time away at places. And the ones on the East Coast, I could sometimes come home for the weekends, and so that was a little bit easier. And then I had one on the West Coast where I could only come home maybe every 2, 3, 4 weeks for a couple of days at a time. I've done some overseas travel as well for periods where I'd be gone for a few weeks, home for a couple weeks, gone for a few weeks, you know, for 3 or 4 months at a time. And in those kinds of travel, I would be maybe 12 to 15 hours time difference. And so, as you can imagine, communicating across that kind of time boundary can get very challenging. And I'm certain with military wives, you know, you guys know that far too well. We're not military, though. I mean, work just sent me there. And I really only share that just to really let you guys know, you know, really how supportive Bethany is in our relationship. And we really have to work as a team together to ensure we have good communication, because if we don't work as a team, it's not going to happen. It just can't. And the only way for our marriage to stay strong is if we're communicating together. But, you know, as we were talking a little bit about this talk tonight and kind of what we would share, we thought, you know, where you guys are now in this stage of life you're in, you have careers, you have kids, you have schoolwork, you have homework. I used to always like it when I got a good grade on my homework with my kids. You know, you have your own work, and you know, honestly, you can be living in the same household with your husband and both going in your own paths, and even though you're in the same house, it would be like you were on different continents. We really feel strongly about that. One thing we're not going to do is we're not going to try to instruct you on forms of communication. I mean, you guys grew up with Facebook, FaceTime, texting, instant messaging, all of that kind of stuff. And so that's not something that we need to do here. I will say, though, if you're sitting on the couch with your husband and you guys are texting each other while sitting on the same couch in the same room, there needs to be some kind of intervention going on there, because that's a little too much, okay? That really is a little bit too much. Now, I do believe in texting your kids if you want to find them around the house, especially if you got young adult children. Yeah. But, you know, honestly, Bethany and I, if there's probably one thing, one takeaway that we'd like to for you guys to get out of this is we feel that it's really important for you to communicate in a way where you can hear your spouse's voice at least once per day. And that should really be your goal. And we've tried to make that our goal in marriage. And we found the plain old cell phone just be the easiest way to really do that. And so we'd like to give you some reasons, you know, why we think that's important, because that's a really important takeaway for us. So for me, it's really all about the body language and the tone of voice that communicates what's really going on. Some of us are really good poker players, me especially. I can hide a lot of what I'm feeling in my emotions when I'm communicating. And honestly, she can too. And hearing the voice, you can hear that inflection. You know, you can really get a good sense of that when you're speaking directly to somebody. And it's much easier to hide that kind of thing if it's just an email or just a text and things like that. And so that's, from my perspective, it's really important to do that.
Yeah, like I said, Dave's traveled quite a bit over the years. So we found that it's easy when there's that physical distance that it can create emotional distance between the two of you if you aren't intentional about communicating. So if we let days go by without intentional communication, then it's easy for us to start to become distant emotionally or let a wedge get in. And that's not God's design. God's design for us in a marriage is to be one, is to be interdependent, is not to be independent of each other. So I think it's important. And again, even if you don't have, you know, a husband that travels a lot and is gone, again, at the stage you're at, I think it's just, I remember that it's easy for you to get running in your own lane and your husband to get running in his lane. And you can, I mean, if you're not careful, you can go weeks without actually having real communication. So I just think we have to be intentional about it, because, you know, if we're not communicating, the physical distance or the running in our own lanes can start creating emotional distance between us. And then I just think that makes us vulnerable. So
it does draw us closer to each other. You know, both of us are kind of driven personalities. I mean, she's an impressive woman. I mean, she's intimidating, actually. You know, both of us are kind of type A. You know, we want to get done what God has called us to do. You know, I the work that I do is pretty immersive. And sometimes I can get so immersed in that I can forget about what my family is, especially if I'm on travel. And That's wrong. I'm responsible for them, and it's important for me to hear her voice, to communicate with her on a regular basis, so I know what's going on in our family.
But the other thing I'll say is, you know, Dave and I are best friends, you know, I more than anyone else, I value his advice, his judgment. I mean, he knows me better than anybody else. So, you know, I want to be, you know, I want to talk through things with him. I go to him for advice, for counsel, I want to know what his input and, you know, what he thinks. And just because, you know, because we are best friends, because like I said, he knows me better than anyone and I value his advice the most. And, you know, we have a room of like 30 women or so in here. And I know that, you know, you might not be able to honestly say that right now. So, you know, I get that. But again, I think if you're not sharing with your husband, if you're not intentional about communication regularly and being intentional about it, you know, then I think that will never be the case. So I encourage you to value that communication and be intentional about it, because, you know, not only does it help as far as not growing apart emotionally, but I think it will help you become better friends. And at the end of the day, you know, I used to always say early in my marriage, you know, I want to be married for 40 or 50 years.
We're almost there.
I know. But I want to be married for 40 or 50 years and at that point still really love each other and still really enjoy being with him. Not just, you know, I'm married 50 years, but we can hardly stand each other. So, yeah.
Well, we'd like to share maybe some of the practical things that we do. And so...
Yeah. Okay. So here are some practical things, and then we'll get to the things... Don't do this. So, I mean, one thing is actually texting. So during the day, like we've talked about, and we're going to talk about how important it is to actually have conversations. But I actually think texting during the day, especially while he was on travel, was like, it helps you stay connected. But I even find here, you know, again, you guys are running hard a lot of times in your own lanes. Just texting each other on the day, checking and, you know, seeing how things are going. You know, if he has some stressful meetings, I might check in and tell him I'm praying for him or see how it's going, you know, vice versa. It just helps us stay connected because I know, like I said, again, when you're physically apart, it helps stay connected. But I know, too, when you're driving your own lane and you have a lot going on, it helps you guys stay a little bit connected, you know, more during the day. So I don't know. I think I find, you know, texting to be really helpful on a day-to-day basis.
I did tell her I was running a little late tonight, too, texted her as I was leaving work because I had a kind of a late meeting. And we do that on a regular basis. For me, I really need to focus on listening and hearing what Bethany is saying. As a guy, I want to fix problems, right? And especially when I'm away on travel, if something's happening at the house, and everything always happens when I'm gone. I mean, maybe it's only because we remember them because I'm gone, but it seems like everything happens when I'm gone. All three of the kids and her get strep throat. My oldest son has emergency surgery.
While he was on
a plane. And so, I get really uncomfortable when something's wrong and I can't fix it. And during those conversations, I only want the facts and data. Like, I don't really care what people are feeling. I want to know how I can get to the root of this thing and fix this problem, right? I want to make it go away. And there are a lot of times when she doesn't want that. She wants me to experience the situation with her and feel that situation with her. And man, that is really hard for me as a guy. You may have husbands like that. And, you know, honestly, one of the things that she has done to help me is, you know, give me a clue, right? Like, tell me, okay, I don't need you to fix this right now. I need you to listen, or I need you to empathize with this. And that really does help me as a guy. I, you know, we're sometimes we're dumb. I mean, we just don't get it. You know, we want to communicate. We want to move on to the next thing. And so it's really helpful for her to let me know that I don't have to fix it right away, and I can just listen for a little bit. And so that's been very helpful for me.
And, conversely, I need to listen and hear what he has saying. And I think, for me, it's not the same kind of issue. I'm not trying to fix all his problems. However, a lot of times I think I can think I know, what the issue is or what he's feeling without him telling. I just assume I have it all figured out. And a lot of times my assumptions are wrong. So, and the other thing too is sometimes it takes patience for me to listen to him. And that isn't always my strong suit in communication. So I need to be patient and give him time and really listen to him. A third thing is just building each other up in communication. I want to ask you, a question in that is, how are you encouraging your husband? So I don't think I can oversell that. I said that about Nancy Guthrie, but us encouraging our husbands, and we can do that through communication, communicating to them, through texting, through in our conversations, through, I think,
she writes me little notes sometimes.
I do. And thanking him for, because he's traveled a lot, I could have had the perspective of being angry that he's gone a lot, but I always tried to keep the perspective of I'm thankful that he has a job that provides for his family. And so thanking him for that, thanking him for the things he does, and praising him in front of the kids. So I think that's something I could have done even more. So I'll encourage you. Your kids are old enough. Praise your husband in front of your kids. Point out the things that he's, they're doing for the family. And then on the converse side about building the other one up is, don't, contradict him or, in front of the kids and in front of other people. I'm not saying that he never needs to be contradicted, but you don't have to do it at the dinner table with the kids, and don't interrupt him. And that's something that I'm bad at. And it's something just in the weeks leading up to, we've had conversation about that. I can be bad about interrupting him. So that's not building him up. That's actually having the opposite effect. So when I interrupt him or contradict him, that's going to make him less willing to communicate with me. So so I'll just say, how are you encouraging your husband?
I used to schedule conference calls with the kids, and we schedule things that are important to us, right? We make time for things that are important to us, and it was important for me to schedule that time with them. And when the kids were really little, the conference calls were kind of short, right? I mean, everybody's on at the same time, and hey, Daddy, I did this, and all this kind of, that was really fun. And then once the kids got all done, Bethany and I could talk. As the kids got a little older in our relationship deepened, I really felt like, especially when I was, on the West Coast and that kind of thing, I would schedule time in my afternoon because it was early evening for them. I told my coworkers, hey, I have conference calls with my family, if that's important to me. And, they respected that. The kids, I think, felt special because, hey, Daddy's got a conference call with me at that time. And I just really felt like it was important to communicate back to my family how important they were to me as well. And so I think that's something that's a very practical thing that can be done.
And along the same line, again, and this is whether you're apart, which I know some of you in the room have that. You have husbands that travel a lot in the military that get deployed. Or, again, even if you're here and driving in the same lane, is schedule the next time to talk. So, honestly, once your kids hit elementary school, and newsflash, it will not get better when they become teenagers, because A, they don't go to bed before you anymore. So that was a real drag. So You seriously need to schedule.
Intimate time is really bad.
Yeah, it's almost like you need to schedule times to talk. If you're apart, schedule the next time you're going to have a phone call, which is hopefully the next day. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if you're here, and again, running in your lanes, schedule times when you guys, you know, it can be at the house, it can go out to coffee, or whatever. You can really sit down and talk. You can catch each other up on things with the family, but also just have time to talk and communicate yourself, because it's, you know, it's not going to happen, you know, one of you probably is a night person and one of you probably is a morning person, so it's not going to happen, like, you know, at 10 o'clock at night or 10:30 at night, you know, and it's certainly not going to happen, you know, at dinner time, when, you know, so schedule times to talk.
I find that I need to really plan difficult discussions. You know, I'm a person that needs to think things through and kind of write things out, and making sure that I can interpret events properly, and really understand, you know, her perspective on an event before I go into a difficult conversation, because I don't want to be making decisions, you know, based on my kind of emotions or feelings. I mean, I need to understand kind of, you know, the biblical basis for, you know, what's going on in the relationship. And so I really need to take that time myself. And we've communicated about this. So she knows I need that kind of space before we would talk about something different or difficult. And it has really helped us in the way that we talk about tough subjects. And it's especially helpful when I'm on travel because, again, you're not there to read the body language of your spouse. And so saying the correct words is really, really important in that case, and certainly hearing the voice. And, you know, honestly, there's been times when I felt like she was taking care of everybody but me. I had to be wise in the way I interacted with her on that because you know, was that really true, or was that just the way I was feeling at the time? And so that's something that, you know, I've struggled with over the years, because we are really busy, and the kids are busy, and, you know, we can go off and do our own thing. But that's something that I've had to do. So some things not to do, okay? We got a lot of good stories about this. So for me, it is don't laugh when chaos is happening back home. So, you know, I'll relate the story to you. So we were all excited we were going to get Fios at the house, right? We got it all set up. The Fios. A few years back, yeah. So the Fios guy gets there. He sets up all the Fios. We got great internet, great TV, phone service, which we don't even use now. And, you know, my whole rationale for that was getting cheaper, you know, cheaper service for everything. And so we got it all set up and everything. But in that process, the alarm system that we had back then stopped working because it used the landlines to dial out. And so the Verizon guys kind of boogered that up when they did the initial installation. So being the good husband I was, and I didn't want to go on travel and not have the alarm system work, and I set up the Verizon dude to come back and, you know, fix it. Well, I was away on travel. And I'm on the West Coast. And so the Verizon guy gets there. Beth and I talk on the phone. And I'm actually at the pool reading a book on my iPad, and we talk on the phone, and she says, hey, the Verizon guy's here, and I talk to her. Okay, well, let's call the alarm company, tell them that they're here, and give them the code, and make sure everything's okay. So we do that and test it. So we do that, and anyway, you know, I'm there reading my book a little bit, and all of a sudden I get a call from her, and she is really upset. And
funny now, wasn't it?
Yeah, she is really, really upset. And I'm like trying to figure out what's going on. And evidently, the call to the alarm company didn't work out like we expected. And so the police showed up and ended up pulling their weapons and basically taking the Verizon guy down because they saw him outside working on, you know, working on the internet or working on the connections to the house, right? So, you know, so they took the Verizon guy down with weapons. I mean, the guy is like, yeah, it's super scared. So after the Verizon guy came to the door and says, I need to leave, you know, as you can, from the title of this, you can tell what I did when Beth was telling me this. I mean, I'm laughing. I mean, it's absolutely hilarious to me. I'm sitting by the pool reading a book, and now I get this great story, right? I'm laughing. Well, that wasn't good for her. But it was really traumatic, and I needed to be aware of the fact that, you know, chaos was happening back home, and here I was kind of laughing at it. I will say, though, that I did talk to the kids later, and after the Verizon guy had been there, the cops came back and said, okay, everything's okay, but the Verizon guy may have to go home and change his underwear. That was literally a quote from the cops. So it was pretty funny, but I should not have laughed then, okay? Yeah. So don't laugh when chaos is back home.
So the other thing I'll say to those of you whose husbands do travel or are deployed, don't think your husband is not lonely, because he is, I think. Dave said there was one year where he worked in San Diego for about 11 months, and so I did go out to, I mean, he came home like once a month or so, but I went out a few times, and I remember I was out on one of the visits, and he had gone to work, so I had gone down to have breakfast, and I was having hotel in the breakfast room, and the waitress come up. Well, she recognized that I was Dave's wife. Anyway, it was like both of the waitresses knew him and knew who he was, you know, because he was basically living at the hotel. And I don't know why, but all of a sudden it hit me as to how easy it would be for him to be unfaithful. I don't know why, because of the fact that those waitresses, I mean, they were young and cute and they knew him and were interacting with him on a daily basis, and it just washed over me that it would be so easy for him to be unfaithful. And the fact that, you know, we are apart and so he's lonely. So, you know, and that's another reason why, again, this, you know, whole communication thing is so important. We just, you know, can't assume, don't assume he's not lonely, because he is. And, you know, no marriage is, you know, bulletproof completely. So, yeah, that was like kind of like a wake-up call for me that, you know, I really needed to be really intentional, even more so, about our communication while he was apart.
The next thing is, don't minimize how hard it is to manage the household while I'm away. You know, as I said earlier, you know, stuff happens when I'm gone. I mean, it just does. And some of the things I'd already spoken about, you know, Bethany is an amazing woman, and she can handle a lot of things, really anything that's thrown at her. And I have to guard against having an attitude that says, you know, just suck it up, right? I mean, I have to guard myself against that. And even though I don't say just suck it up, my tone of voice and the way that I address both her and the kids can be in a tone that's trivializing what they're going through. And I really have had to work on that and continue to work on that. It is something that certainly something that you don't want to do. You know, we're a team, and we need to treat it that way. And when she's on the battlefield, I mean, I need to support her in the best way that I can. And so I find that for me, I can't minimize how hard that is while I'm away. Even though I know she can do it, I need to treat her like the teammate that she really is.
And the last thing we'd say not to do is, and again, this applies to whether you're physically apart or whether you guys are here and running in your own lanes, and that's, don't let days go by without talking. You know, we found that was really important when he was on trips. We tried to talk every day, even when he was in Australia, and that was a challenge, and there were some days that we would miss. But even here, again, you're running hard in your lanes, it is so easy to just, you can let days go by without really even having a conversation with your husband. I mean, honestly, you know, I know you got sports things, you got this, you got that, you got homework, you're tired. So, you know, don't let days go by without having some kind of conversation with your husband, without talking to each other. So,
So really, in closing, physical distance doesn't mean you really have to lose out on life together. Not at all. And obviously, communication is even more important because we don't have the day-to-day interaction when I'm on travel. But as Beth said, in what we said earlier was, it's really easy to talk. It's much more difficult to communicate. And even in our busy days, day-to-day lives, communicating with your husband is really important in order to strengthen that marriage and keep that bond strong. So
yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.